Good morning. Today's daf in Sota is, hey, we're on Dalman Base. We're about 7 lines on the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be starting this morning with the words, Ma Yad Liyad Lo Yitnakeh. Here we are in the beginning of the Masechta Sota. So obviously a lot of our discussion is revolving around the act of adultery and the ills of the act of adultery and some of the characteristics that would lead to adultery. So one of those characteristics is Gaiva. So it's arrogance. And so the Gemara spoke yesterday about the ills of Gaiva. That a person should not be arrogant. And today's the day. In the Sota Daf Hey, today's daf. So the Gemara is going to be speaking at length regarding the ills of being arrogant. Okay, it's going to be most of today's daf, right? Usually in the Gemara we hear about halacha. So today really hashkafa, right? And almost an entire day dedicated to this one particular topic. Obviously, if the Gemara is dedicating precious real estate to this topic of arrogance, so obviously it's an extraordinarily important topic. And so, without further ado, let's begin. So, the Gemara quoted a pasuk in Mishle. So, we quoted the pasuk in yesterday's daf. To avas Hashem kol gvalev. So, it's an abomination to anyone who's arrogant. So, that's part of the pasuk. But ma yad liyad lo yinakeh. Dal amud beis, about 7 lines from the bottom of the amud. So, the Gemara now wants to know what is the continuation of that pasuk. So, so Amar Rav. So the Gemara now is touching up the second half of the pasuk. Kol sheyesh bo gasas ruach afilu hiknal laKadosh Baruch Hu shamayim v'aretz. So the Avraham Avinu dichsei beharimos yadi el Hashem el alyon konei shamayim v'aretz lo yinakeh midina shel gehenim. So what it means to say is that somebody who demonstrates an element of arrogance, so even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly, and like Avraham Avinu did. Right, Avram Avinu said, "Harimos Yadi El Hashem Kel Al Yom Konei Shemayim V'aretz." Fine. Even if he does so, nevertheless, Lo Yinakeh Midin Shegehenim, he's not going to be able to escape Gehenim. Meaning, arrogance is so bad that even if you have good qualities about you, but the Gemara says, but still, there's an element of Gehenim that you're going to have to suffer. Kashu L'Debe Rabbi Shila. So the Gemara is not so thrilled with it because if it really was referencing back to Avraham Avinu, so it would have said the word Yadi, all right? Because that's the pasuk that we quoted by Avraham Avinu. Harimosi Yadi El Hashem. So El Amri Debei Rabbi Shila. So the Gemara offers now an alternative shot, and that is I feel keep El Torah Kemosh Rabbeinu Dichzebe Mimi No Lo Yinakeh Midina Shel Gehenim. Okay, so rather than connecting it to Avraham Avinu, you connect it to Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, you share qualities with Moshe Rabbeinu, but still, if you exhibit arrogance, so then lo yinakeh, you're not going to be spared. Kashle le Rabbi Yochanan, hayad liyad yad mi yad mi bayele. So okay, so the it should say mi yad, not liyad. So Elam Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara now is offering our third attempt, as we are now on the top of Hey Amud Aleph, and that is afilo setzdaka b'seisa dichsiv mata b'seisa yichpe af. So v'chule. So another pasuk in Mishle. This is from the 21st parak of Mishle, and that is somebody who is giving money, and not only giving money, but giving money privately. So man b'sefer yichva af. Now the pasuk, the simple pshat in the pasuk is that Kadosh Baruch Hu anger is going to be subsided if in fact you give tzedakah. Not only that, but better than giving tzedakah is giving it privately. But still, lo yinakeh midina shel gehenim. But even though. So you have this unbelievable quality of not only giving tzedakah, but giving privately. Nevertheless, lo yinakeh. You're not going to be spared from Gehenim if, in fact, you exhibit arrogance. Azar l'gazei ruach minayin. And so here we are now on the top of Hey Amud Aleph, and the Gemara now is asking a really fundamental question. Where's the sister in the Torah? Okay? So, again, a really interesting Gemara coming up today. And that is going to be, is that what we're going to be looking for is a source in the Torah for a midah, for a particular attribute. Meaning it is much easier, as I'm sure you've noticed throughout the Torah, that the Torah legislates action, right? Here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're not going to do, right? Here's the mitzvah essay. Here's the los essays. But what we're going to be looking for now is somewhere in the Torah that tells us not to be arrogant. Now, arrogance is a midah. It's a characteristic. It's a mindset. And so it doesn't come up that often in the Torah. Now, I say it doesn't come up that often in the Torah. So hopefully you're thinking now they're one of the SRs of Dibros, los sachmot. Right, lo sachmot is not to covet, not to want other people's possessions. So that clearly is a mindset. Good. So in other words, I, right, even There clearly is some mitzvahs in the Torah that is working on our hashkafa, but the vast majority of the mitzvahs of the Torah are there to shape our hashkafa. But in other words, the vast majority of them are simply positive actions, mitzvahs esei, or things not to do, lo sa'aseis. But generally speaking, we do not find this kind of mitzvah in the Torah, where the Torah is legislating a mindset. Okay, so gasas haruach. Torah says don't be arrogant. Can you show me where in the Torah where the Torah says don't be arrogant? So good. So this is going to be the beginning of a lengthy discussion of the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara is going to resolve this question pretty quickly, but the entire daf is dedicated today almost exclusively to this idea of not being arrogant. So Azar Lagasa Ruch Minayin Amar Rav Amar Ziri. So the Gemara now quotes Bisham Ziri. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Shimu Vazinu. Al tigba'u. Listen carefully. Do not elevate. Meaning, don't elevate your heart. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Me'acha V'ram Levavcha V'Shachachta. If you raise your heart, you're going to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a pasuk in Chumash. So, Uksiv Yishamelecha Pentishkach Es Hashem Lekecha. Be very careful. You're going to forget Hashem. So, in other words, Uchad Rabbi Avin Amar Rabbi Elai, Damar Avin Amar Rabbi Elai, Komakum Shenemar Yishamer Pen Ba'al, Eino Ela Belo Saseh. So when the Torah preempts and prompts us with any one of the four words, well, one of the words obviously is lo. In other words, he doesn't say that, but it's kind of obvious. But in addition to the word lo, if the Torah prompts something with an al or a pen or a hishamer, so that's a lo. That's a lo sase in the Torah. And so according to the second approach, mamish in the Chumash itself, you can find where the Torah tells us to be careful not to forget Hashem. What do you mean not to forget Hashem? Yeah, because if you become arrogant, if you're Ram Levavcha, so you're going to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Darash Rav Avir Zimna Namar Lei Mishmei, the Rav Asif Zimna Namar Lei Mishmei, the Rav Ami, Kol Adam Sheish Bo Gassa Zeruach, Lesof Mitma Eit. And now the Gemara is going to talk about the ills of arrogance. What happens when a person becomes arrogant? So, number one, a person is going to become, is going to be diminished. Shenemar Romu Me'at. Now the pasuk goes on to say ve'einenu, and you'll see in a moment why it is. I'm quoting more of the pasuk. So romu me'at. If you raise yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will me'at. He will reduce you. So v'shema tamar yeshna ba'olam. Okay, reduction. But that's it, just reduction. So tamalamar ve'einenu. No, read the next word in the pasuk. Ve'einenu tells me that if a person is arrogant and continues to be arrogant, so not only is that person going to be experiencing a reduction, but einenu. The person's not going to be there anymore. V'im chozer bo nesaf bizmano, gavram avinu, shenemar, v'im chukechol yikafzun. And what if a person does tshuva? So good. So if a person does tshuva, so he's going to be, he's going to live a long life. Ke'avram avinu, just like Avram did. Avram lived for the full 175. I know Midrashim say that he was supposed to really live to 180, and 5 years of his life was taken away. Rashi and Chumash brings down these midrashim. Anyway, still, 175 out of 180 is not so bad. Okay, I say that as if 5 years is no big deal. But anyway. And we have psukim by Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, how they received everything. Right, Rashi brings down, by Avraham Avinu, it says, Vashem Berechas Avraham Bakol. Yitzchak, it says, v'ochal mikol, and by Yaakov, ki chanani elokim v'chein yishli kol. Right? That's Rashi in our Gemara. So anyway, so, and we're familiar with this Gemara. It's attached at the end of benching. Right? We have various bakashas that are inserted at the end of benching. Right? Benching ends with the words ayah chasrena. That's the end of the fourth parak, but fourth bracha, I should say. But then afterwards, what we have is a series of bakashas that were included. Don't know when they were added, but doesn't matter. In other words, they were added to the benching end. So this Gemara over here, a version of this Gemara was added to the at the end benching. Essentially, the Avos basically say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us everything. Meaning not a lot, you gave us everything. And right, that was the back and forth between Yaakov and Lavan. Right, Yaakov and Esav. Right, when Yaakov gave all the gifts to Esav, so Esav said, I got plenty. Right, Yeshli Rav. And Yaakov's response was, Yeshli Kol, yeah, but I got everything. So in other words, so for me, it's no big deal for me to give these gifts because I have everything. Okay? A lot of hashkafa over there, but anyway, we're going to continue. The imlav. Now, a person doesn't do tshuva, meaning he's arrogant and he doesn't do tshuva. So if he does tshuva, so he'll get an extension of life like Avraham Avinu. But if he doesn't do tshuva, So what's going to happen is he's going to be like the head of the Shibolos. Now Shibolos are the weak wrong in the field, and so he's going to be cut down. So my Rosh Shibolos. So the Gemara wants to know what exactly are we describing over here. The Gemara gives two pshatim, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, Chad Amar Ki Sa'asad Shibalta. Well, you know, we're talking over here is the Zikana Shibolos, right? Literally the beard of the Shibolos. Okay, I'd love to tell you, I know what I'm talking about when we're talking about wheat fields and we're talking about those very tall stalks of wheat. Okay, I've also seen pictures of it, but that's the extent of my knowledge. But anyway, there's a part of the stalk of wheat that's described here in the Gemara as the zikan. In other words, it's basically, it's got like a beard to it. Okay, I'm sure like various growths that come off of it. And v'chana mar kishibol satzma, and the other one says that we're talking about the actual stalk itself. Now, Bisham Laman Damakisasa Dishibalta Haina Dixiva Kuroshibolas. The first shot, the Gemara says, I hear it better. Because we seemingly are describing something over here, which is basically, you know, the part of the stalk that falls off all the time. So Alaman Damakishibolta Atma Mayu Ukiroshibolas. So however, if we're talking about the stalk itself, the stalk doesn't come down on its own, you know, you have to harvest it. So the Gemara says, "Amar Ravasi v'chein tan de bevi shmal mashal adam shenichnas l'soch sadeu gevoa gevoa hu melaket." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but we could still go with that second pshat, because what happens? You're going into the field. You got your sickle. You're ready to harvest. Which of the stalks are you going to cut down? The tallest ones. Okay. So it's so the mashal over here is hopefully pretty clear. In other words, for the person who's arrogant, so he puts himself up as like one of the quote unquote tallest ones." So he's the one that's going to get cut down first. Okay. The benefits of being humble. Okay. That's giving like a short introductory note to the upcoming Gemara. V'es daka ushval ruach. This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Right? If I could just read a little bit more of the pasuk. Kicho amar Hashem ramanisa shochenad v'kadosh mo. Marom v'kadosh eshkon. V'es daka ushval ruach. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu residing? So his residence is by those people who are humble. And the Gemara now darshans. Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, Charamar, Iti Daka v'Charamar, Ani Es Daka. Now he's residing with those people who are humble. And the Gemara gives us two viewpoints in terms of how that exactly is. He's going to take someone who is low, and he's going to raise them up to his level, his capital H. Now, obviously, all this is not literally, but still, the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the lowly and he raises them up. That's one pshat. Alternatively, Ani Estaka. I, meaning the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to go down with those who are low. So, Umisabra Kamanda Amar Ani Estaka, the Gemara says, you know what? A little bit of a nod to the second pshat. That the Shechina goes down. Shari Kosh Baruch Hu, Inyach Kol Harim Ugvaros, V'yishar Shechina Sol Har Sinai, V'lo Gvar Har Sinai Lamala. Meaning, let's take what we all know. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to Har Sinai. Har Sinai was a low mountain. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't raise Har Sinai, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to Har Sinai. Again, to the best of our understanding of what these Gemaras mean, I understand the general intent of the Gemara, but still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming all the way down. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yosef Lola Miloma Da'ada Midas Kauno. A person should learn from his creator. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the lowly. And so, of course, with that, that's Musa for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ineach Kol Harim Ugevos V'yishar Shechina Sol Har Sinai. Next line I'm going to skip. It seems to be an added point. But still, the basic idea is that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down in order to sit with the lowly, so we should do the same thing as well, right? We should mahu rachum, afata rachum. We should emulate and mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Sota happens to be, we're learning Sota, but later Daf Yedalet, right? One of the more famous pieces of the Gemara in Sota talks about how we have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So once we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an affinity, those people who are low, so we should do the same. Am Rebbe Lazer Kol Adam Sheish Bogasos Aruch Rai Legado Kaashera. Anyone who is arrogant and makes himself elevated above others is going to be cut down just like the Asherah tree. The Gemara Ksiv Hacha, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yishayahu, V'ramei HaKoma Giduim. Those who are tall and elevated are going to be cut down. And of course, we know that when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we have very clear instructions. You see the Asherah tree, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to cut it down. Continuing, we're right in the middle of Hamad Aleph. Amar Avalazah kol adam shesh bo gassas urachin afernin ar. Shenemar ikitzav ranu shochnei afar shochnei. Sorry, I was right. Shochnei afar shochvei be afar lo nemar ela shochnei afar. Mishenasa shachin la afar bechayav. Okay, who is going to have tchias amesim? Who's going to enjoy and participate in tchias amesim? Only those people who basically are treated themselves like dirt in this world. Meaning while living in this world, they didn't see themselves as anything high and lofty, but in other words, reduce themselves, humbled themselves like the dirt. So if you were shochnei afar while you were alive, you were like dirt, so therefore you're going to be experiencing tchias amesim. Amar Rav Elazar kol adam v'sheish bo gassas ruach shchina miyaleles alav. Anyone who has arrogance, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wails over that individual. Shenemar v'gova mimerchak yiyeda. Okay, so the Akash Baruch Hu knows about it. Akash Baruch Hu is upset over it. Darsh Rav Avira Vitemer Rabbi Lazar Bar Shaloki Midas Akash Baruch Hu Midas Pasav Adam Midas Pasav Adam Gavoa Roe Es Agvoa Ve'In Gvoa Roe Es Ashafal. Okay, Akash Baruch Hu is not like us. When it comes to you and I, so those people who are tall only see other tall people. Now, again, the Gemara over here probably doesn't mean physically, but the point is that our vantage point is generally speaking limited to that which is basically in line with our vantage point. Pasuk in Tehillim 138 describes that Akash Baruch Hu is way up high, and meanwhile he sees that which is low. Okay, so Akash Baruch Hu is not like us. When we're high, we only get to see high. And meanwhile, Akash Baruch Hu is not like us. Hamar Chesav Yitem Amar Ukva, Kol Adam Sheish Bogas Zeruch, Hamar Akash Baruch Hu, Ein Aniva Hu, Yacholim Lador Ba'olam. This town is not big enough for the two of us. It's not that's not a line from an old Western, although I'm sure it is. But the Gemara uses it in terms of describing someone who's arrogant. Akash Baruch Hu basically says, there is not room enough in this world for the two of us. Shenemar Melashni B'Seisa Re'eo Oso Atzmis, I'm going to cut him down. So, giva inayim urchav levav osau le'uchal. The pasuk in Tehillim, this is 101, pasuk in Tehillim basically says that I cannot, let's add, that those are a lot of pronouns. I, Akash Baruch Hu, cannot be with that individual who's arrogant. Al tikre osau ela ito le'uchal. Meaning, I cannot him. The Gemara says that the pasuk could also be read, ito, I can't be with him. Meaning there's just simply not enough room for the two of us. Now, some take that pasuk that we just did, Tehillim 101, and instead of describing people who are arrogant, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot tolerate, it describes people who speak Lashon Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot tolerate. Shenemar Melashni B'Seis Re'eo Oso Atzmis. Okay, Melashni, from the word Lashon. Anyone who speaks poorly about other people. In other words, those who say Lashon Hara. So, Oso Atzmis, I can't handle him. Anyone who's got arrogance, just the smallest wind is able to blow him over. So the Rishayim over here, the Gemara's understanding of Russia, specifically to those people who are arrogant. So kiyam nigrash, it's going to be like the sea. And the Gemara says, ma yam sheishbo kama revios ruach kima ocharto. Now, take a look at the yam, take a look at the ocean. A little wind, now I say a little wind, by the way, of course everything is relative, it's not little, but still, a little wind is able to blow it around, right? Just look at the sea going back and forth and the waves, and in other words, and that's all created by a little bit of wind. So, Adam she'ein bo ela revius achas. Now when it comes to a person, so how much liquid do we have in us? Only revius, one revius of blood. In a moment I'm going to come back to that point. Al achas kama v'kama. So in other words, if we only have but one revius and we're arrogant, the wind is going to blow us over. Okay. Just if I may, just add one simple cliche: the bigger they are, okay, the harder they fall. Okay, great. The Gemara says that we have one revius. So what is that a reference to? So interesting, both Rashi and Tosfos over here. So first, let's start with Rashi. So Rashi over here writes, Rashi can be found right before the lines start getting wide towards the bottom of the Amud. Adam Sheinbo Ela Revias Acha Shebe Revias Dam Hu Miskayem. Okay, so how much blood do we need? Okay, so please do me a favor as I read the Rashi. Okay, so I'm not, this is not a biology class. This is a halacha class. So it's Gemara. So the, so over here, I'm not speaking biologically, but, the assumption Chazal had is that the most basic amount of blood that we need is one revius. Now again, that's not a lot. In other words, the doctors took off today, which, you know, I'm happy. So that way I don't have to look at them as I say over this Rashi. But all you need is one revius of blood. Dam meis metamebo, memneshu nefesh vikarina be al kol nafshos meis. Lo yavol. And Rashi uses this to explain the halacha, meaning what's the halacha? We know, right? We just finished Nazir. We did this in the seventh parak of Nazir. And that is that if you have human remains of blood, so how much blood is necessary to give off Tumas Ohel? One revius. So why is one revius significant? So I'll tell you why, says Rashi. Because one revius is the amount of blood necessary for life force. Life force is going to be created by one revius of blood. Now, if all this bothers you, so I totally understand. I think the doctors will tell you that we need more than one revius in order to live. So if you take a look at Tosos over here, Tosos gives a different shot in the Gemara. So Adam Shein Bo Ela Revius Dam. There are only two Tosos on this Amud. I'm looking at the second Tosfos. Perish Rabbeinu Chananu Hu Dam Atzalul Shemimenu Mashtis Alev Ein Bo Ela Mishkal Chafei Salaim Shehi Revius Halog. So basically the amount of blood within the heart, within the chambers of the heart, so that's basically effectively going to be Revius Dam. Once again, by the way, if I had the doctors here in the room today, so they probably would tell me that the heart is not, at one time has 4 ounces of blood, probably not. Right? They would probably give me another look today as well. Okay, so either it's too much or it's too little, regardless. The point, of course, is that the Gemara says that a Revius Dam is significant. Why significant? So you see Rashi, you see Tosfos. Whichever pshat it is, it's significant. And let's just go back to the point of the Gemara. Just like the ocean, which has multiple Revius, right? How many Revius are there in the ocean? The numeric answer is a lot. Okay. So, and yet a little bit of wind is going to blow it over. We have but one Revius of Dam. Okay, so so you can only imagine what the wind's going to do to us. Good. Back to the Gemara. Amar Bichya Bar Ashi Amar Rav Tamachachem Sarach Shehebo Echem Mishmona Bishminis. So how much arrogance should we have? A 64th. Much discussed regarding this Gemara in terms of a small amount of arrogance is okay. Right? The Gemara says 1 in 64 arrogance is fine. Now, it goes without saying, by the way, that the Gemara over here to be taken literally is very hard, meaning we're talking about a mida, we're talking about a characteristic, and it's very hard to go ahead and to just simply divide it mathematically. Oh, okay, fine. How much arrogance should you have? Well, let's cut it down to a 64th. Okay. Obviously, the Gemara over here is to be understood much deeper than the way I just read it. However, for our Gemara today, just for the purpose of the Daf Yomi, it's fair to say that the Gemara says basically the smallest amount. The smallest amount of arrogance. That would be okay, but nothing more than that. Okay, we go over this Rambam numerous times. The Rambam writes that there are two midos. There are two characteristics, two traits, human traits that a person should have none of. And one is gaiva and the other one is kas. Arrogance and anger. The Rambam says they should have none of the above. In other words, when it comes to other characteristic traits, the Rambam continuously says that you should be right in the middle. In other words, they should not be overly giving, but you shouldn't be overly miserly. Where should you be? You should be right in the middle. Again, these are hard things to gauge, but generally speaking, the Rambam talks about the golden rule. The golden rule is to be in the middle. But when it comes to these midos of gaiva and kas, the Rambam says you should be an extremist. We should all be an extremist. We should have no gaiva and no kas. Okay, and obviously the Rambam was informed by today's daf. Right, an entire daf today talking about arrogance and how you should have none of it. And I know we just read in the Gemara you should have a 64th, but the Rambam probably would tell you, I don't know, but I'm guessing, a 64th is basically another way of the Gemara basically saying, like none of it. I'm Ravuna Breder of Yeshua Ma'atralei, Kisas El Shibolta. So when you have a little bit of arrogance, so what it's going to do is it's going to crown you. Just like we discussed earlier in the daf today, we talked about the beard of the stalk. I don't know, that little growth on the stalk. I'm sure there's a fancy name for it. So anyway, it doesn't matter. In other words, just like that, it crowns a stalk. So too, a little bit of arrogance is good. Why is a little bit of arrogance good? Right? It crowns a stalk. So once again, I turn back to Rashi. Rashi writes, Gasos Muad, Rashi, the second wide line of Rashi. Gasos Muad, Na Vehogenes L'Tam HaChacham. A Tam HaChacham should demonstrate, should display just the smallest amount. Rashi writes, why is it important? U'me'atraso ka'asasa ma'atarso shibolos. I meant to read the previous Rashi. No problem. We're here. Go back a Rashi. Echad mishmona b'shmini is the 64th of arrogance, says the Gemara. Mishkal katanhu v'hainu uchla. Okay, Rashi just gives us the measurement. Okay, klummer. Tzarch shiyeh bo ma'at gav v'shaloyeh kalei arosh mistol limbo. V'hei devarav mitkablim aleim bal karcham. In other words, because as a Talmud Chacham, so you have to instruct people. You have to inform people. People are going to come to you and tell you what the halach, you know, ask you what the halach is. So if you say it in a meek tone, which again, the humility demands that you should come from a position of weakness. However, as a Talmud Chacham who's answering a question, so you're basically telling people what to do. So in order so that people will listen to you better, so you have to, your answers have to be with confidence. Okay. So and obviously it's a balance, but that's Rashi's understanding of why the necessity of just the smallest amount of arrogance when it comes to Talmud Chacham. Okay, Amar Rava b'shamta disbei b'shamta leisbei, and then Rava gives us one of those perplexing statements, which obviously is going to be difficult. But somebody should be in Talmud Chacham is going to be in Chayrim if he has arrogance, and he's at the same time going to be in Chayrim if he has none of it. Okay, again, probably trying to split the atom in terms of, on one hand, of course, you should have no arrogance, meaning arrogance is terrible. That's our hold off today. We are a half an hour into this discussion of how bad arrogance is. So it's terrible. On the other hand, when you're a Talmud Chacham, so you have to exhibit some arrogance. Okay. So that, and that's Rava's conundrum of Bishamta Dispe and Bishamta Delespe. Okay. Good. Easy to explain, right? So I'm Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lomi Neva Lomi Ksasa. So Rav Nachman says, nope, I'm recommending none of it. Zero. Right? And again, by the way, probably the Rambam will tell you that's my guiding post. Lomi Neva Lomi Ksasa. Mizu Tadichse Beitov As Hashem Kol Gval Lev. And again, we go back to the Pasuk and Mishlei. The Mishlei says that it's an abomination to Kadosh Baruch Hu, anyone who elevates their heart. So in other words, if it's an abomination, so my recommendation is not to have a 64th, not to have a little bit, but zero. I'm recommending zero. Amar Chizkiah in Tfilaso Shel Adam Nishmas Alem Kein Meisim Libo Kabasar. You want your tefillah listened to by Kadosh Baruch Hu, so what your heart has to be is your heart has to be soft. In other words, you need to be soft. You cannot be hard in order for your tefillah to be listened to. Shenamar. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, it's at the end of the Navi. Okay, I say it as if I know Yeshayahu. Okay, I need to know it a lot better, but still, the basic point at the end of the Navi is that everyone's going to go kol basar, and over here the Gemara's darshaning kol basar means that somebody who's soft. Somebody who does not make himself hard. Amar Rabbi Zera, Basak Sibay, Vinirpa. The Adam Loksiv Bay Vinirpa. Okay, so if you look in the Pesukim by Mitzora, okay, we're gonna get there shortly enough. I know Pesach puts a Sedra on hold. But after Parsha Shmini, right, next coming up is Shmini, but after Parsha Shmini, so then we have the Parshios of Tsaras. Tazrim Mitzora is all about Tsaras. So the Gemara makes the following observation. Rabbi Zera makes the following observation. So when the Torah says the word basar, so vanir pa, and you're going to be healed. When the pasuk says adam from the word adama, which of course is hard, so the pasuk does not say vanir pa. So in other words, it's just another observation that how do you get healed? In other words, you're in treatment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're pleading with Hashem. So how do you get healed? When you're soft, when you're basar. But if you're adam, meaning adama, when you're hard, so Kadosh Baruch Hu does not hear tefillahs that well. I'm Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan says, I'm going to give you a mnemonic to help you remember the general characteristic that a person should soften himself. Adam. So, and a person should be humble. So Adam. Adam is a construction of three letters, Aleph, Dal, and Mem. Yes, we're learning the daf today, and I know it sounds like something, you know, you normally hear by a schmoozing, you don't normally hear this by the daf, but okay, you get to hear this in today's daf. Adam, made up of three letters, Aleph, Dal, Mem, Aleph, Afer, right? Afer meaning that Afer literally means ashes, but in this context, in other words, it's synonymous with Afer. We're dirt. We're made from the earth. And that's the Aleph. Dal is Dam. And the Mem is Mara. Okay? So we are constructed of these three things. Again, I know I shared a couple of Rashis already this morning. May I share another Rashi? Look at the bottom of the Rashis over here, third to last line. Rashi writes, Mara hi lechluchis mara hayotzes mina merir shebekaved. So Rashi over here seems to be describing the gallbladder. Right? And it's unbelievably bitter. Umizgabers ba'adam ha'kolofi ha'chadash v'shinu ha'yitim ulofi ha'maychol she'ocha v'ayadeh ba'im chalayim v'negayim ha'machuvos. And Rashi says that because of it, so we get sick. In other words, a lot of our illness. I know right now I'm giving you 12th century biology and anatomy. I know that, but it's just so interesting that, in other words, he's explaining the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that what are we? We're Mara. Meaning we are Afer, we're Dam, and we're Mara. Right? These are, right, not exactly exciting parts of the anatomy. Yeshikar medivar arofim merira shechara v'yeshikaran merira adama. Okay, and he's quoting the doctors over here. Just an interesting Rashi regarding his understanding of the what probably is the gallbladder. Okay, anyway, that's the word Adam. Adam is a construction of three words, of Afer, Dam, and Mara. And now let's go to the word Basar. So Basar is Busha, Srucha, and Rima. Okay, so and Basar is a construct of three letters. So Busha, we should be embarrassed. And Srucha, something which is putrid, and Rima, we're going to go down into the earth, and basically we're going to be food and fodder for maggots. Okay. Great things to think about. And again, when I say great, meaning it's humbling. In other words, that's the whole point of today's daf. Igadami Sha'ol Dechsev Bishin. Now, some prefer that when saying over the mnemonic, so don't say the word srucha, but rather say sha'ol. Because the word basar is with a sin. So just as a better mnemonic, so the other version has it that the sin, in other words, all you need to do is take the dot and move it to the right-hand side, and now you're with a shin. And sha'ol. Okay. We're gonna go down into the ground. Okay. Am Rav Ashi called him Sheish Bogas Zeruch Lesof Nifchas. So a person who has arrogance is going to be diminished. Now, hopefully you're thinking to yourself, I heard that already this morning. That's correct. You did hear this already this morning, right? Obviously, this is such an important point that the Gemara feels that repetition on this point is important, even though we're in the same daf. Shenamar. Now, over here, we're at the end of the Parsha of Tzaras. So that means to say that we are, right, all the way at the end of Mitzara, Parsha's Mitzara. V'laseis. V'lasapachas. So the word se'es is basically somebody who elevates himself. Now again, in the context of the parsha, we're describing various discolorations of the body that would result in yield and tzaras. But the Gemara's understanding over here, se'es, elevation. And what's going to happen, sapachas, he's going to be diminished. Ain't se'es elosh and gavosh and emar v'alkol harim harimim v'alkol agvos hanisa'os. The mountains that are being elevated. The word seis is elevation. Einein sapachas elotfelos shenemar sapacheni na elachas akonos laechol paslachem. A pasuk in Shmuel, right? The beginning of Shmuel Aleph, right? The sapacheni. I'm going to just simply attach myself. In other words, I'm tafel. I'm going to be secondary. I'm going to be ancillary. So somebody who's elevated is going to end up being somebody who's ancillary. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi Borei, Kama Gedolim Nimuche Aruch Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shebesha Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam Adam Makriv Ola. Schar Ola B'yado Mincha, Schar Mincha B'yado. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, look, somebody who's low, amazing. Let's compare and contrast. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, so what you would do is you would go to the Beis HaMikdash and you would bring a carbon. Yesher Koach. And when you bring an Ola, so what's your reward? Bring having brought a carbon Ola. And the same thing is true regarding a mincha as well. However, however, somebody who is low, and somebody who makes himself low, it tantamount to having brought every carbon. Shenemar zivchei lokem ruach nishbara. So, and obviously the note over here, the observation over here says zivchei. It says if you brought all those carbonos because you were nishbara, you were shover, you were broken. V'lo od ela she'in tfilasonim esa shenemar lev nishbara nitkei lokem lo sivzeh. And when you're broken, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to your tefillas. Am Rav Yeshua ben Levi called Hasham or Chosav. Bo'olam hazeh, anyone who is very careful, plotting his way, deliberate and intentional in what in the way he thinks. So Zochav Rav Yeshua, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have a Yeshua. Shenem Rav Yisham Derech. Sorry, let me read the pasuk and tell him correctly. Visam Derech Arenu B'Yesha Elokim. And Al Tikre Visam El Visham Derech. Now, even though the proper reading is the way I just read it, Visam, but we darshan. And over here, Visham Derech. You are deliberate and intentional where you walk and how you think. Okay, Adkan. Now we're going to continue, meaning we're going to finish the daf today. And then, well, we're going to get to the two dots. Let's say it like that. But basically, that's it. Adkan. Okay, so that was a lengthy bit of Gemara from the beginning of today's daf, really going back to yesterday's daf, through where we are right now in Hayamud Aleph, I'm sorry, in Hayamud Beis. So the Gemara spoke at length regarding not to be arrogant, and in fact just the opposite, to be humble and to really subdue and minimize one's personality. Okay, and I already quoted the Rambam. I didn't quote the Rambam inside, but in other words, the Rambam feels that humility is something that is critical. In other words, the Rambam writes that a person should have no gaiva, no arrogance whatsoever. And, okay, that's obviously if the Gemara is spending nearly a daf on this topic, it must be an extraordinarily important topic. Okay, Ketza Mekanela. Okay, and so for the end of today's daf, what we're going to do is we're going to do a little more halacha together today, and we go back to the beginning of the Masechta, and we go back to the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah was confusing. Which part of the Mishnah am I referencing? So not the beginning, the beginning is very clear. In other words, in order for your wife to become a sota, obviously nothing you want her to be, but in other words, the formula for her to be a sota is that there has to be a kinui and there has to be a stira. You have to give her an official and a formal warning, and also then after that warning, she needs to be secluded with that man that you warned her not to be with. Okay, that's, and how many witnesses does a warning need, and how many witnesses does a seclusion need? So that was the machlokas and the mission between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. All that was clear. Here's the part of the Mishnah where basically now we're going to be struggling with. Meaning, now basically the Gemara is going to do what the Gemara normally does. And that is, it explains the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is difficult because, so I'm going to go back to the Mishnah, I'm going to read the Mishnah, and it's going to be obvious in just a moment what's confusing about the Mishnah. Ha-mekan alishta Rabbi Lazar, ma-mekan ala al-pishnayim, ma-mashkal al-pi-edechad, or api atzmo. And Rabbi Yeshua Amr Mekan ala api shnayim amashka api shnayim. So far, so good. That was clear. Granted, it's a machlokas, but that's all clear. Ketzad Mekan ala. Well, how do you warn her? Here's the part that's going to get confusing. So Amr la bifnei shnayim al tadaber imishponi. So what you do is you tell her, hey, don't talk to that man. You're right, the one's wife is spending a lot of time with a particular person. And what you say is, stop talking to that person. Okay. So now, in your warning, what did you tell her not to do? Not to talk to him. Now, then the Mishnah goes on to say, V'dibra imo. And she does exactly what she told her not to do. She goes and she talks to him. So the Mishnah then says, Adayin imo tells the beisa, mutels lechobachuma. Well, she's not a sota yet. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, Nechnasa imo lebeisa seser, V'shasa imo kidei tuma. So asur lebeitza v'asur lechobetruma. Then the Mishnah goes on to describe, well, you know, if then she secludes herself with that man, so now she just violated the stira, and therefore she now is a sota. She's asur. She's asur to you. She's an eshes kohen. She's asur to truma. V'chule v'chule. Okay, now, it's obvious. The Mishnah is unbelievably confusing. Because what was your warning? Don't talk to him. And what did she do? She talked to him. And then what does the Mishnah say? She's not a sota yet. Okay, it's the question the Gemara is about to ask speaks for itself, and that is the Mishnah's confusing. Okay, so let's go. So Ketza Mekanela Hagufa Kasha. So the Gemara articulates it really quickly, and that is Amarta Amar le bifnei shem al tedabri yimishponi ze ama dibor. Stirahu. So now, when you said al tedabri yimishponi ze, so over there, when you said don't talk to him, so what did you mean when you say don't talk to him? Nothing wrong with conversation. Conversation is fine. What you meant, of course, is that don't talk and then take the time to go into a private area. That's what you meant. And then, of course, the mission is confusing because I'm a Dibor lo klum. And meanwhile, Dibor in the Mishnah seems to be exactly that. It's talking. Well, I don't understand. When you warned her not to talk with that man, so didn't you mean Dibor as a function of not to seclude yourself with that man? But then the Mishnah uses the same exact word to describe not seclusion, but rather talking. What does the word Dibor mean in the Mishnah? So Amar Abayi says, okay, it's what we all would have said, but more importantly, the Gemara now, Abayi is telling us that we're not reading the Mishnah correctly. Hachi Kamar. The intent of the Mishnah basically is like this. Al Tidabri. So if the husband says to his wife, don't talk, Vidibara, and she does exactly that, she talks, or Al Tidabri, Vinistera. So if he says, don't talk to him. Now, don't talk to him does not qualify as a warning. Meaning, despite the fact that obviously he's jealous and his wife is spending a lot of time with that individual, and he says the words Al Tidabri, and he meant that as literally to be understood as talking. Don't talk to him. So even though, right from a marriage standpoint, obviously there's a lot to uncover there. But we're not talking about the marriage and the counseling. We're talking about right now the halacha. Was that a formal warning? The answer is no, it was not. In other words, because formally to receive a warning halachically, it's not the conversation that would register as a halachic warning. What registers as a halachic warning is al-tistari. Do not seclude yourself with that man. So if he says al-tidaber, don't talk to that man. So, or grammatically correct, al-tidabri, so that does not constitute halachically a warning. And so subsequently, if she talks to that man, or even if she secludes herself with that man, again, all behavior she, of course, should not engage in, but that's not the point. The point is that because he said the words al-tidabri, that does not register as a formal warning, and so therefore, we don't get into the process of being a sota. And similarly, right, just this is all by still continuation of his understanding of the Mishnah. So the altistery, let's say he says altistery. Now altistery, that's a warning, meaning don't seclude yourself with that man. That is a formal warning. But then what does she do? She doesn't seclude herself with that man. She just simply talks, converses with that man. And again, I'll just add an obvious point. Obviously, it's behavior she should not engage in, meaning clearly right now, from a marriage standpoint, there's issues. But again, we're not here for the counseling part of today. We're here for the halachic part of today. And that is that even though he issued now what is legally a warning, halachically, the warning now is in place. But if all she does is talk to him, but in other words, that doesn't seclude, so that was not a violation of the warning. So v'dimrama adai mutasa besa mutasa chol b'truma. So again, from a halachic standpoint now, she's still a valid married woman. So and it's only when the warning was issued properly with the words altistery, and only when she actually secluded herself with that man, then and only then is she now an Isha Sota. In other words, now she has crossed both the threshold of warning and stira, kinui and stira, then and only then now is she an Isha Sota. That is Abai's understanding of the Mishnah, meaning that the Mishnah over there, when the Mishnah says Ketzad, was not going back and explaining, here is what a warning looks like. In fact, just the opposite. Meaning what the Mishnah's point is that here's what a warning doesn't look like. In other words, if you say Al Tidabri, that's not a warning. Consequently, anything she does with that man afterwards is not going to be a violation of the warning because the warning was not properly issued. On the other hand, if he says Al Tistari, now the warning's properly issued. And now violation of the warning would, of course, be when she secludes herself with that man. If she only talks with that man, again, shouldn't have done it, but it's not a violation of the actual warning. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here tomorrow. We're going to pick it up at the two dots. Let's recap today. It's easy to recap. So easy to recap. Number one, what we learned in today's daf was that when you have when you have somebody who's arrogant, that's bad. Okay, but for more on that, go back to the beginning, start again from the beginning, press play, and follow through. The Gemara had I didn't count almost a dozen members of Chazal in which how bad it is to be in a position of arrogance. And it was an interesting discussion on Hey Amud Aleph at the bottom of the Amud. How about a little bit of arrogance, just a little bit, okay, so that people will listen to you. In other words, again, that fine line between arrogance and confidence, right? In other words, right? Every day, just I know I'm looking through my lens, but every day I'm saying a daf, and I have to say things confidently. Is it because I know? Of course not. But in other words, you have to say it over with confidence. Otherwise, you know who's going to listen. Good muster for me, but anyway, meanwhile, in other words, but it just a little bit of arrogance. So the Gemara at the end of the Hamad Aleph has a debate whether or not even a little bit is acceptable, right? And Rava had that really confusing statement on the Hamad Aleph. Yes, you should. No, you shouldn't. Anyway, but the Gemara debates whether or not even the smallest amount would be okay. And finally, that took us Hamad Aleph and Hamad Beis. And then halfway through Hamad Beis, so then we go back to our Mishnah, and all we try to do today is just wrap our head around the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that he warned her not to talk to somebody, and then she talks to somebody, well, he warned her not to do it, and that's exactly what she did. And the Mishnah says, and she's still mutter to her husband, and I'm so confused by the Mishnah, and Abai says, okay, so let me take your hand and let me walk you through the Mishnah. Here's what the Mishnah meant, and we went through Abai's understanding of the Mishnah. Good. I can't.